be looking at Psalm 119 this morning. Excuse me. And the first 16 verses. So please take your Bibles and turn there. And I would like to start out by having us, myself reading it and having you follow along, please. So Psalm 119, verses 1 through 16. It says, "Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in His ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying Your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all Your commands. I will praise You with an upright heart as I learn Your righteous laws. I will obey Your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to Your word. I seek You with all my heart. Do not let me stray from Your commands. I have hidden Your word in my heart that I might not sin against You. Praise be to You, O Lord. Teach me Your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from Your mouth. I rejoice in following Your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on Your precepts and consider Your ways. I delight in Your decrees. I will not neglect Your word." Well, we can never overemphasize knowing God's Word. I think as Christians, at least that should be our attitude, that we're never knowing enough about what God has to tell us. And we probably all would agree with that, that yes, Bruce, that's a true statement. We need to constantly be looking at God's Word. However, in real life, it is easily, by those who would say that Scripture is important, it is easily replaced by other things, the most trivial matters of this life, that is the studying of God's Word. Among other things, this shows how very much we are attached to the physical world and the physical pleasures around us. And while we do that, while we pass on the serious study of Scripture sometimes, we pass on the promise made to us by the one who has shown us more love than we could ever imagine or understand. We're going to consider one of those promises this morning, and that's this, is that God promises the blessing of a righteous life to those who are committed to His Word. Let me read that again. God promises the blessing of a righteous life to those who are committed to His Word. So we open Scripture and we see promises from God, and one of them is this, as we see in the first few verses of Psalm 119. We read this morning, maybe you already noticed, that those who are committed to the Word of God, living by the Word of God, for them is a righteous life. So it's a promise from God. To live righteously before God, according to His Word, should be seen as one of the greatest blessings we can receive from the hand of God. Now you think about that. We think of blessings, we often we equate that with something good that has happened to us, and many times that could be the case, but we need to be careful as we interpret life. Blessings sometimes from God are what we might think are difficult things. What does James tell us about trials? We look at trials and say, difficult. James tells us to count it all joy, right? When we have trials from God. So to live righteously before God goes beyond something good, a good physical thing that we might receive from His hand, or a good circumstance that we might receive from His hand, but it's everyday life that is in itself a blessing to know that we are living righteously before Him. And this psalm tells that it comes from a commitment to His Word. So we will look at the beginning of this psalm, 119, to see what being committed to God's Word looks like. and this blessing of a righteous life. So, number one, the blessing of a righteous life is for those who walk and seek. So, let's look at these verses again. And the promise of this blessing starts in these first few verses at the very beginning of this psalm that is dedicated to declaring the glory of the Word of God. And you're familiar with this psalm. Almost every verse has a reference to God's Word and the greatness of it. In verses 1 and 2, the psalmist tells us that blessing comes to those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord and who keep His statutes. So verse 1 says, blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. So here is the promise of blessing. Now, these are very fundamental statements and would appear to be understood by even the simplest of minds. Just do what God says and you will be blessed. That's what these first two verses are saying. If you walk, if your ways are blameless, that means you walk according to the law of the Lord. Right? Verse 1. Very, very simple. For many reasons, however, this is not as simple as it should be for a fallen creation. For those who don't know God, who are not in a right relationship with Him, it's impossible. They just simply can't do it. But for those who do know God, who God has saved, it's still a struggle. It's still a struggle for us. It takes conscious effort each and every day. So if we want the blessing of a righteous life and yet we're not willing to say, I'm going to do what Scripture says to get that, we're going to look at this a little bit closer in a few verses, we cannot expect to have the blessing of a righteous life. So often, the battle to live blamelessly and righteously is lost because there is not enough seeking that these verses talk about. Seeking for the Word that this whole psalm is centered on. And verse 2 tells us there's a combination of two things that must happen for a blameless life. There is the doing, and there is the seeking. And it's only logical that doing what God tells us to do can only happen when we have sought what He has told us to do. Can you know what God wants you to do without getting into His Word and finding out what it is? Absolutely not. Without knowing God's commands, we can't keep God's commands. It's all very simple. So the blameless ways, the walking according to the law of the Lord and keeping His statutes of verses 1 and 2 can only come with the seeking Him with all their heart. So verse 2 again, blessed are they who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. So in verses 1 through 3, we see that seeking God with all one's heart is a crucial element in being able to walk in a way that pleases God and receive God's blessing. So we should establish at the very beginning here, I'll repeat it, if we think that we're going to live a righteous life, have the blessing of a righteous life from God without a deep interaction with His words, we are gravely mistaken. And God tells us this. He tells us this here in Psalm 119:1. So if we are not in God's Word, we are foolish to think that we will have the blessing of a righteous life. So this seeking is something that we should spend a little more time thinking about. First, in its context here in verse 2, where it says, seek Him with all their heart, we need to understand that seeking God with all our hearts, in the context here, it means to have a desire to know Him through His Word. Because here in this psalm, the beginning of this psalm that is very clearly focused on God's Word and the glory of it, we should understand that seeking Him means knowing Him through His Word. To understand it in any other way would mean to disregard the entire focus of the psalm. That being the Word of God and its sufficiency to guide the child of God in the ways of righteousness. Now, many people seek God in many different ways, or at least they claim to seek Him. You've probably heard people who don't know Christ say that they are looking for God and seeking God, but again, they cannot really do that. if they think that they're doing that, it's because God is drawing them. But it's not only the unbelievers. Sometimes we as Christians do the same thing. Some may say they are seeking God by waiting for a sign, or a vision, or a feeling, or some other kind of confirmation. To seek God's direction without His Word is to neglect the answers and understanding about Him that He has already given. And maybe at times the seeker has seen the answer in God's Word and was not happy with what they saw, not happy with what they learned, so they hold out for a different answer through more arbitrary means. For example, I can interpret a leading from God in many different ways. And you hear people say that, God has led me to do this, God has led me to do that, for whatever reasons. Of course, God would never lead us differently than what He has written to us in His inherent Word. But verse 4 tells us that once you see the answer or direction in Scripture, your search is ended. You need look no further. He says, you have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. So, when we have the answer from God's Word, we don't need to be seeking anything else, a sign or a vision or anything else like that, which, by the way, means that we should first go to God's Word if we're looking for direction and find the answer there and not depend upon how we might interpret the leading from God and go from there. And so often, that's what happens. And not to be critical, but many times, if somebody says, God has led me to do such and such, and you ask them, where do you see that in Scripture? Sometimes the answer would be, well, I haven't seen it in Scripture, I just know God is leading me. Well, that's getting things backwards. We go to Scripture, find out what God wants us to do, and then we do it. God can confirm those things in other ways, but He would never lead us one way and we find something different in Scripture. Secondly, concerning this seeking, we see that it should be done with all our hearts. So again, verse 2, blessed are they who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. So see, this is seen in verse 2 and also in verse 10 where it says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. So this phrase is understood to be an effort which is in which nothing less than our very best is given. When we do something with all our heart, it's nothing less than our very best. And we should most likely understand it, that is also an effort where we would make sacrifices to accomplish our goal. Doesn't it sound like that when we do something with all our heart? It means that we do it with all of our energy and all of our soul and everything that we can put into it. And if obstacles come along, we get over those obstacles, which many times will call for sacrifice. Again, in the context of this psalm, seeking God with all our heart has to include the seriousness of His Word and looking into it and understanding it and knowing it. So it has to include these sacrifices to accomplish this goal. Remembering that the ultimate author of the psalm is God, we should understand that this is what God expects from us. It's not just David saying, speaking to God and praising God's Word, but it is God's Word to us that we need to seek Him with all our hearts, and that is through His Word. So to seek Him through His Word with an effort that is sacrificial and is nothing short of our very best. Those who look hard to know God and what He commands can then walk according to those commands. And what greater blessing is there than to know we are living righteously before our God? Can you think of anything else, any greater blessing in life, to look at your own life and say, in humility even, I know that I'm living a righteous life before God. Not living that way so that we can receive something from Him, but living that way because we already have received great blessing from Him. God promises the blessing of a righteous life to those who are committed to His Word. Just to summarize that again in these first few verses, seek Him with all their heart. Those who walk according to the law of the Lord. They do nothing wrong. They walk in His ways. So there is seeking and there is walking. But it depends greatly on God's Word. In His grace, God has revealed not only Himself, but all that we need to know to please Him and effectively serve Him. It's all right here in the Word. The question for you and I is, how much do we want to know that? How much do we want to do that? How much do we thirst for this knowledge? The Psalm also talks about learning. And that's our second point. The blessing of a righteous life is for those who learn. Now, the idea of learning brings with it the idea of an ongoing process. If you are learning something, that means it's a continual act. If we were to read this psalm, this entire psalm, we would see that the psalmist has a great appreciation and love for God's Word in every facet. He just repeats over and over again for his appreciation and love for God's Word in many different ways. And we would get the impression that he has a great deal of understanding already of that Word. And yet we read here he's wise enough to know that he needs to know more. And he still has a desire to learn and grasp the value of learning. So specifically in verse 7, we see that the psalmist knows that he must continue to learn. He says, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. So as I learn tells us that his intention is to keep learning. It will always be an ongoing process. It also reveals an understanding of what happens as God's children learn and embrace the truth. Verse 7. Again, verse 7 says, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. So in this verse, the direct result of ongoing learning of God's Word is that the psalmist can now praise God with an upright heart. So again, verse 7, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. To praise God in a way that is acceptable to Him, we must understand who He is and what His Word teaches. As I learn your Word, I can praise you. I do praise you as I learn about who you are and as I learn your Word. So he makes a very clear connection here. His praise of God is being connected with the learning of God. Clear in verse 12 as well. He says, praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. So the teaching, learning aspect is brought out there. He asks God to teach him his word no less than 10 times in this psalm. He says, teach me, teach me, teach me. That is his request of God. So again, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. So the psalmist here is making clear that I need to know God's Word so that I can praise Him. I doubt that any of us would say that we don't need to continue to learn more and more of God's Word. I think everybody in this room would say that. However, the actions that we take to learn may say something different for us. For those who put forth the effort to learn and do what they learn from God's Word, there awaits for them a righteous life, and in turn, great blessing. So again, God promises the blessing of a righteous life to those who are committed to His Word. This desire to truly learn will be manifested by the work that we put into it. And before we move on to our third point here, something that we should pause and evaluate for just a moment. Can I say that I have a blessing of a righteous life? And I can say that because my life manifests the fact that I am serious about my study of God's Word. It is not a hit or miss. It is not a maybe I will or maybe I won't. But I have put thought and time and effort strategy into the study of God's Word. His word promises that a righteous life awaits for those who do. We'll continue and be challenged, I think, again by this same truth. But our third point, and we'll finish up with this one, is the blessing of a righteous life is for those who consistently study the Word. We have already spoken of seeking God with all our hearts, and that this is an exercise of knowing God through His Word. And this point, our third point, is a similar point as we consider the discipline of consistent study. The psalmist speaks of this in the passage that we're looking at now. In verse 11, he has devised a plan to keep himself from sinning against God. That righteous life, a life that consists of not sinning against God. And verse 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So, what's the plan? What's the strategy? The plan is to hide God's word in his heart. The strategy is to be prepared with an answer when temptation to sin arises. This preparation is the study of God's word. And I wonder how we approach this same thing. As we consider a righteous life, as we consider not sinning against God, how do we approach that? Do we think that I can live this righteous life? I will be strong in the face of temptation. I will not sin against God without hiding God's word in my heart. That's a great mistake that probably many Christians make as they take a flippant attitude towards study of Scripture. That I can get by without it. But the psalmist wants to be so versed in his laws, commands, and decrees that every situation that he faces can be attacked by the truth of Scripture. Wisdom of the strategy should be admired as it reveals the psalmist's humility. Because what is he saying? When he says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, he's saying, I have hidden your word in my heart so as a result of that, I will live a righteous life, that I, when I am tempted, I won't sin against you. And that's humility because he recognizes that without the ability to apply Scripture to life situations, he leaves himself vulnerable to an unrighteous life. Conversely, the one who sees no value to seek God with all his heart, as we're challenged to do in verse 2 of this psalm, is proudly saying that temptation can be overcome without a serious application of God's word. Are we saying that today? Are we saying I can live a righteous life without the serious application of God's word, without being in discipline and study of God's word, I will somehow find a way to resist temptation? That's a very proud statement for us to make. That we can face sin without being saturated in God's word. And it's probably for that reason that many Christians fall in the face of temptation. Let's continue with this strategy that the psalmist has. In verse 13, the approach is to verbally repeat as a way of study God's law. So he says, with my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. Perhaps this is a way to commit these truths to memory. To, with our lips, to recount them, say them out loud. At the very least, this verbal recounting is a way of bringing joy to his own heart because he cherishes God's word. And also in verse 15, he says, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. So meditating on precepts. What is meditation? It's a deep and undistracted thoughts of and about God's word. So he's meditating. He also considers God's ways in verse 15 as well. He says, I consider your ways. These are statements of the intellectual effort that he puts into knowing his God. Do we meditate on the Scriptures? Do we separate ourselves away from the hurries of life and make ourselves think about the Scriptures? And when our thoughts are drawn away from that, do we pull ourselves back into the meditation of that Scripture? Is that part of our strategy so that we might not sin against God? This is what the psalmist is saying that he does. And we can probably make a fairly accurate guess at the amount of time that is spent by the psalmist in the hiding of God's heart, of God's word in his heart, the recounting, his lips recounting those laws, and meditating on God's word. We get the impression that he does it a lot. We get the impression that he's probably made sacrifice to do that and has overcome the obstacles of things drawing him away from God's word to do it anyway. And while some may say that the psalmist is challenging us with what he's challenging us with is unreasonable, we need to remind ourselves again that the ultimate author of this psalm, it is God who is telling us to do these things. And we need to trust him that what he is telling us is what is best for us. It's not anything unreasonable. It's not something that can't be accomplished, of course, with his help. These are words from him. And he is telling us, meditate on my word. Draw yourself away. Think hard upon it. Study it. Hide it in your heart. This is what you need to do. And if you will, you will live a righteous life before me. Finally, verse 16 is a great challenge for us because we find ourselves here sometimes. And so we are challenged with the thought of neglecting God's word. It says, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. In the first 15 verses of this very long psalm, we are already confronted with what kind of life is acceptable to God as we consider His Word. What kind of life was that? It is a life where His Word is sought after with all our hearts. It's a life where His Word is meditated upon, where His Word is hidden in our hearts. I think it implies that we overcome obstacle and difficulties to make sure that we have great discipline in studying that Word. And that we are not easily drawn away from it. But we have strategies to face sin. And that strategy is to hide that word in our hearts. And that's what God is telling us in these just very few verses of this very long psalm already. As we consider His word. The sad truth is that most likely many of His children do neglect His word. It is the same story over and over again. It's the same struggle that we have and the same challenge that we are given from our enemies, from our main enemy, and from our flesh. We believe the lie that something other than the pursuit of knowing God holds greater blessing. And we are drawn to that every day. We are drawn away from God's word to something else. Are we prepared to face that challenge? Do we want the blessing of a righteous life? It tells us right here how we can get it. And I think it also tells us right here that there is only one way to have it. And that is to be in God's Word, to be seeking it with all of our hearts, to be following hard after it, even when there's obstacles in our ways to get it. And that is the discipline of being in His Word. Learning it on a regular basis, studying it, seeking it, following hard after it. God promises the blessing of a righteous life to those who are committed to His Word. Well, this psalm gives us much to think about regarding our commitment to God's Word. Where does it find you today in this aspect as we evaluate where we are with our study, with our desire, our thirsting after, our strategy, our commitment to that Word? Perhaps you are living the blessing of a righteous life because you have heeded words such as what we've looked at this morning. Perhaps this psalm finds us on the other end of that spectrum. And we're currently neglecting God's word. Maybe you're somewhere in between. Well, wherever we are concerning this discussion, all of us could and should commit to a deeper devotion and discipline regarding the beautiful gift of the Scriptures, shouldn't we? We should never be satisfied where we are in our study with Scripture. And we should also request the continued grace of God to help us reject the lie of blessing or fulfillment outside of God's Word. Let's consider how much time we waste on useless and meaningless pursuits that could be spent on better knowing God through His Word. God promises the blessing of a righteous life to those who are committed to His Word. Heavenly Father, we tell You thank You with our lips for the precious gift of Your Word. Our lives don't always say the same thing. So we would seek Your forgiveness during those times. And we'd also ask You to give us wisdom to believe what Your Word has to say. That there is the great blessing of living righteously before You through Your Word. Help us to understand there is no contentment, true contentment in life without Your Word. Help us to seek You through it each and every day. We ask this in Jesus' name.